Yes, our usual Thursday Twitter sound in the air can mean only one thing. The arrival of Sean Defoe, who, like Garth Brooks, is rumored to have friends in low places.
All my friends are from low places. Low society, scum of the earth, that's me.
We'll say nothing. Good to hear you first off, Sean. How are you doing at all?
Yeah, good. Good to be back. We missed last week. Struck down with the plague. Managed to avoid it for 2.5 years. And then suddenly, of course, went on my holidays and we came back. And lo and behold, we managed to catch it. So, yeah, nasty little dose for a few days. But after that, just a bit tired. But you know what? I did pretty well. I was nearly thinking that I was immune to it. So I was going to send my blood off for analysis. So now no need.
My God.
I can, in fact, catch COVID.
Escaped so long and there he is. But I'm glad that you're well on the mend now and all the rest of it. But a bad old knockout. A bad old knockout, as we'd say.
A knockout. But sure, look, you know, now I'm good for the winter. I can lick lampposts to my heart content for the next few months and not have any fear.
Well, what you do in your spare time is entirely your own thing, Sean. Well, now, just looking at some of the news of the week, hard to avoid Garth, whether you like him, love him, or loathe him. But most people, including myself, must say, do enjoy him and do love him. Meant to be some of the greatest concerts going in Croke Park over the weekend. And, of course, more to look forward to this weekend. And people just absolutely enthusing over his efforts on stage.
Yeah, after such a long wait as well to finally get Garth in Croke Park. And anyone who has been has said it's been absolutely amazing. Is that it's just been a really, really fantastic gig. And people who I wouldn't have said in my life were Garth Brooks fans, but lo and behold, I see them on Instagram gushing over him. So apparently he's putting on a great show, and I hope everyone who's going over the weekend actually enjoys it, because it's meant to be good. But he seems to be enjoying himself in the meantime, in between all these gigs.
Sure.
Videos emerging of him left, right and centre around the country. Is one of them singing and pouring pints in Dick Mac's down in Dingle. He was in down near myself in Wicklow as well, exploring Glendalough and some other places. So he's getting out and about and enjoying that Irish life.
He certainly is. Let's take a little bit of this Dingle part in the pub here. Have a little listen.
Yes, you know how much I love her. Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? If my time on
go on, Garth. Yeah, because you know what it is, you get no time off. You're in a pub and people still expect you to warble.
It's also in the middle of the day is what I love about this. Yeah. It's like bright, sunshiny middle of the day and the place is packed with people having pints. So, you know, I guess that Dingle tourism is going. But I'd love, you know, imagine saying it to your boss, you know, sorry there, boss, but the Garth Brooks is next door. I'm just going in for a pint. Like, here he is, yeah. Get back to work.
What an Irish thing to do. But anyways, moving on. Now, I have to say, I get seasick very easy. I will drive anywhere. I will fly anywhere. Not a bother on me, but I don't like being on boats at sea. Big or small?
Well, I would usually agree with you, except for I went on a cruise recently, my holiday away. No wonder I got COVID, says you, in the industry. hotbed of where COVID was on these cruise ships. We went for a cruise around the Mediterranean, which is absolutely gorgeous. And we only felt seasick once at the very last night, because apparently at the front of the ship is where you get most seasick. And we had this lovely seat at an Italian restaurant at the front of the ship. And then we both started going, oh, Jesus, I don't feel like the starter anymore.
My God.
So it wasn't too bad. But the reason we're bringing it up, not just so I can brag about my holiday, there is a new cruise ship has been built, right?
Yes.
And it's slightly taking a slightly different twist on it. You're not just going for a week, you're not going for 2 weeks, not going for a month, but they are selling apartments that you can buy and live on this cruise ship that is going to set sail in 2025 and just sail around the world. And so you are going to literally buy these apartments and live permanently at sea. They're not cheap. They're starting at $1 million, and that is for an apartment with a Murphy bed, which I had to look up, but it's one of those beds
same
that folds
here
into the wall.
I've never heard of a Murphy bed. Yes. And you
no,
know,
but
it
I
was
knew
named
it once
after
I saw
William
it.
Lawrence Murphy.
I presume has an Irish connection.
Is you're right. An Irish emigrant who lived from 1876 to 1957. He went to New York, wanted to find a creative method of making space in his small apartment, and he applied for his first patent around 1900. And according to legend, he was wooing an opera singer, but living in a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco at the time. And the moral code of the day frowned basically upon a woman entering a man's bedroom. And Murphy's invention converted his bedroom into a parlor, enabling enabling him to say, come into my parlour.
Very clever. Yeah. So it's all about wooing a woman is why he hid his bed.
Well, exactly that. No, I'm sure she found out there was a bed there at some stage. But
eventually, well, I hope if things went well for him, I suppose he would find it out. Yeah. But this is this is what you get for your million. You get your place in the Murphy bed that folds up into the wall. Now, there are more expensive ones that I think go up to $8 million for one of these particular cabins that are particularly nice and it's two-story and you have different rooms and all that sort of stuff.
More like $9 million, Sean, for a four-bedroom. I was looking it up myself.
I'll definitely be able to afford this. But it's kind of mad. It's like basically, you buy this apartment on the ship. You then still have to pay management fees. You have to pay like $2,500 per person per month. So it's not even cheap once you get on there.
Yeah.
But then that covers everything. That covers all your food at some 20 restaurants, all your drinks, your pools. They've got all these jet skis and stuff down the bottom, nice balconies with stuff on it. So it's you obviously have to be rather rich in order to go and do this and be part of this adventure in 2025. But what an interesting way to live a life, to buy an apartment on the cruise ship and literally just spend your working life sailing around the world.
Well, I tell you, Sean, now, no word of a lie, I said it to Audrey on reception and she's saving her pennies after hearing about this. Honest to God, she thinks this is an amazing idea. You'd want a fair degree of wanderlust about you, wouldn't you?
Well, you would, but you know what? It's something that I have to admit, I was skeptical about doing a cruise when
we initially booked it.
So, we were amazed. I'm converted. 100% converted. We'll 100% do one again. Because we were thinking, right, we haven't been anywhere in 2 years. How can we tick off a load of places in one go? And that's what we did. And it's amazing. You go, it's your hotel moves around with you. So you just wake up in a different city or a different part of the Mediterranean, as we did every day. You get back on board, you drink all you can, eat all you can, go to bed, lo and behold, you're in another country the next morning. Great way to travel.
Yeah. Well, there you go now. Don't knock it unless you try it, I suppose, is what you're saying it to me.
And it wasn't, and this was another one of my fears, it was not just a bunch of old fogies on board. We were not the only 20-somethings who were there amid a bunch of 80-year-old octogenarian Americans. There was actually quite a mix of different people and plenty of crack.
So well, there's good stuff.
My ad for the tourism, for the cruise sector has been...
I tell you, you've done your best. I may have to rethink all of this now, Sean. Lastly, now, in terms of what's happened across the water and the poor old queen and stuff, like at the end of the day, she is a queen, she's a mother, a grandmother, and a lot of other things besides. But 14 days of mourning. My God.
It's quite a lot.
Isn't it? Nobody does ceremony and pomp and all the rest of it better than the Brits. That just goes without saying. But by golly, does it drag it out over that space of time? Like, even for the family, it must be difficult in terms of genuinely grieving when you're so busy.
Yeah, grieving and trying to mourn as well. And like, do you know what? I would usually say, this is ridiculous, but I have to say I have a certain amount of respect for Queen Elizabeth, given all she did in her career. And you're like, okay, fair enough. But I just wanted to highlight some of the mad things that have happened in the last week and that have made their way onto social media. Like you said, the British do mourning very well. One thing they do even better than that is queuing. And they have taken that to a new level with the Queen lying in state. The queue yesterday reached 3 miles long. They are expecting the queue to see her coffin to reach up to 10 miles long. Lying in repose until Monday the 19th of September when her funeral is on. There were 200,000 people who queued for the coffin of the Queen Mother when she died in 2002, and they're expecting the Queen Elizabeth's queue to well expand that. Another kind of stat about when their coffin was flown down from Scotland to London, it was the most tracked flight in history on flight radar, with 6 million people trying to follow the route just down from Edinburgh to London. And then some of the weird things they've done, right? These are one of the weirdest ones, I thought. Heathrow Airport has adjusted its schedule to allow for silence over central London. So that on the yesterday, on the 14th of September, between about 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, they made sure that no flights were going over, so there would be silence for the Queen as the procession made through. And one that has really caught shoppers out is Morrison's. They have turned... You know when you go to that checkout, like in Tesco or in Dunnes or wherever, the self-service, and you scan and you get the little beep?
Yeah.
They've turned off the beep in respect to the Queen so that it won't make a noise. But it's caused a load of problems because people are scanning their milk 7 times because they don't think it's gone through, and then causing these big queues in Morrison's. So yes, the British are doing some very strange things.
Oh, Sean, that is mad. That is just mad. And lastly, I was just looking at the morning on the TV in terms of the crowds, and when you do actually get in there, you're about 20 foot away from the casket. It's not like you're close to it or anything.
No, and it's like up on this dais, and they're all walking by really respectfully. It's not like they stop and have a look. It's all just like keep on walking.
That's it.
It's open 20 24 hours as well, which sort of gave me this, this image in my head of, you know, someone rocking up to the pub maybe at 8 o'clock and saying, oh, no, no, I'm not going to go near that. I wouldn't respect the Queen enough to do that. And then suddenly after 3 or 4 pints, you go, God, I loved Queen Lizzie. Let's go. 3 a.m. go and queue up for to see the coffin. Just very
imagine.
Strange.
Just imagine. Well, listen, we got to park it there. A pleasure talking to you as always. I was very interested in your Explain to Me podcast in terms of interest rates. That was an interesting one you did. And why interest rates are going up and all the rest of it. I know it sounds a little banal at the title of it, but it affects us all, and I think it's worth a now listen.
Yeah, definitely. That was last week's episode. It was obviously the ECB are putting up rates, and it's going to make all of our mortgages and all of our loans a little bit more expensive. So we've got into that. Another one today. I sound really boring because the last 2 weeks have been about interest rates and tax, specifically a windfall tax. We have a new episode in today about how to tax those energy companies who are just pilfering our pockets with the big expenses.
Yeah.
So that's out this morning. It sounds a little bit dull on the face. If someone came up to you in the pub and said, oh, let's talk about tax, you'd probably run a mile. But important for the times we live in to see how we can tax the energy companies and how that might put some money back in all of our pockets.
Absolutely.
Over
more importantly, says you. Sean, a pleasure having you back. And listen, enjoy your rest of the week. Thanks for joining us today. Have a good one, all right?
You too, Ollie.
Talk to you, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye.